Okay, you might want to get close to your radio.
My deal is we can have an honest conversation where both sides have some issues.
I love it.
I want to officially welcome you to News One Now with Roland Martin.
I'm Roland Martin. Today on News One Now, President Barack Obama calls the Loretta Lynch confirmation delay embarrassing, and Republican Senator Bob Corker, he says a vote could happen this week. The wildest week in Washington, the director of a new documentary, takes you inside the White House Correspondents' Dinner, also called Nerd Prom. Talk about a bunch of geeks. The co-founder of Miss Jessie's Natural Hair line dropped by to talk about growing a business and also losing her sister to suicide. We'll break down the dangers of America's most favorite foods on Fit, Live, Win. Plus, Christina Milian comes clean about her new love, also her new album. Time to bring the funk on News One Now on TV One. Folks, Loretta Lynch has been in limbo for 5 months waiting for the United States Senate to vote on her confirmation to be the next Attorney General. If confirmed, she'll be the first African-American woman ever to hold the position. Well, on Friday, President Obama got pretty forceful in a news conference when he was questioned about the delay.
There are times where the dysfunction in the Senate just goes too far. This is an example of it. It's gone too far. Enough. Call Loretta Lynch for a vote. Get her confirmed. Put her in place. Let her do her job. This is embarrassing, a process like this.
The delay so far is so shameful that if you combine the time for the last 7 attorney generals, her delay actually exceeds the amount of time they actually had to wait. Well, yesterday on ABC's This Week, Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee, on CNN State of the Union, spoke about the issue and whether or not she would get a vote.
My sense is over the next 48 to 72 hours, that is going to be resolved, and we'll move on to this Iran issue. There's so many other things. Senator Alexander passed unanimously out of committee this week an education bill. We have trade promotion agreements that Orrin Hatch and Ron Wyden dealt with. So we have a number of things that I think are getting ready to hit the floor. This logjam that you're talking about over this nominee likely will be worked out in the beginning part of this week.
Well, we've heard that before. Previously, of course, Senator Mitch McConnell said that he was going to call for a vote. Then a few days later, he goes on ABC's This Week and says, well, there's going to be a delay. And that's where we are today on the panel. Today, Edward Hales, Managing Director of the Advancement Project, Michelle Jawando, Vice President for Legal Progress at the Center for American Progress, and Raynard Jackson, President and CEO of Raynard Jackson Associates. Folks, on Wednesday, a group of us, Brothers for Loretta Lynch, are going to go to the U.S. Senate. We've already got a commitment from 100 Alphas, 100 Makers, I got other members of men's ministries and others, because there needs to be, in my estimation, a public presence in terms of brothers standing up for her. Delta Sigma Theta, they've been very vocal, very involved. You also had other fraternities and sororities, other groups, civil rights groups as well. This delay is ridiculous. I just think that to leave this sister dangling out here makes no sense whatsoever. We understand it's politics, but you would think the Senate has the ability to do more than one thing at one time versus saying, well, no, we got to wait for the human trafficking bill to get done before we deal with Loretta Lynch.
I absolutely agree with you, and so does the president, and so does the entire civil rights community. This is unprecedented, it's unusual, it's unfair, and now it's simply unjust. She should be confirmed right away, and because the whole community, law enforcement as well as civil rights, are standing up in support of her, she's tough, she's fair, she's independent. She's been confirmed by the Senate twice already. She has the qualifications, and people want to put her in the position so she could do the job we know she can do.
Michelle, Senator Rand Paul says he's going to vote against her because of a forfeiture issue. Others are voting against her because of immigration. My deal is fine. If you want to vote against her, that's up to you, but not calling a vote, to me, is what is irresponsible.
Exactly. You know, it is fine for anyone to talk about the actual qualifications of a nominee, but what's not fine is to obstruct the process, which is not bringing Loretta Lynch to the floor for a vote. At this point, she's been pending for more than 50 days on the Senate floor for a completely uncontroversial nominee. So what I think all of the members of the Senate, no matter which party, what they should be saying is, let's make sure we call the vote and we can talk about her qualifications, but let's get to the floor.
Raynard, when you look at polling data, Republicans do worse among black women than any other group. This doesn't help their cause.
That's not true.
Actually, it is true.
No, it's not true.
No. Republicans, it is true. I've even had Republicans tell me this. I mean, Republican pollsters have said that there's no group they do worse with than black women.
Well, no, that part is true. There's no linkage between.
No. But here's my point. If there's one group you do no worse with is black women. What I'm saying is delaying this nomination to the extent they have does not help when you're talking about trying to appeal to African Americans.
It's totally irrelevant because this is Senate politics as usual. Harry Reid has done the same thing with Bush within the White House. So why are you all feigning this outrage?
Hold on. First of all, I'm not feigning outrage, but when no other attorney general has had to wait this long, when she's been confirmed twice before, when this could have gotten done, when a vote takes 15 minutes, are you telling me that you have to actually wait more than 160 days for a 15-minute vote when the United States Senate can pass resolutions dealing with food allergy week, or can pass be dealing with renaming a post office? Right. Explain to me why, after
Welcome
she's gone through
Washington, D.C.
And we have the right to call it out, whether you're talking about Republicans or Democrats.
But you don't do that when
Actually, right now, you're lying. I was critical of the fact that when you had judges who were appointed by Bush, that was a federal judge who was appointed in the District of North Texas, who was a former city attorney for the city of Dallas, and that was delayed. So you bet your behind I complained about that.
It's not going to impact. Your question to me was, what is this going to help with the black women vote?
You said I haven't criticized, and I have. My point is, I do not believe it should be these kind of delays when it comes to appointments. And we should be willing to call out this place, which is one of the reasons why people don't trust the Congress, reason why their approval numbers are so low, because if workers out there having to work their butts off every day, and these folks cannot walk and chew gum at the same time.
Well, exactly. But this is par for the course, and this is nothing unusual. And so for all black folks to get up in a tizzy, and then for some in the black community to try to make it a racial issue.
Nothing but raw politics. Michelle, I'm not making this a racial issue, but the point I'm making is when you are trying to expand your tent, when you are trying to appeal, what I'm saying is don't think for a second this is not going to have an impact in the minds of some when they're making ballot decisions.
But this is not going to have any relevance on that issue.
So let me actually tell you. So last week I was able to participate in a press conference with Women of Faith and Conscience. So it was faith leaders from all across, interdenominational, black, white, Hispanic, and then you had members from the civil rights community. And what we were saying is, as women seeing the treatment of Loretta Lynch, it is disparaging.
Okay, and so the question...
The question that remains is, if she's been confirmed twice, she has previously held this position in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Eastern District of New York. They are the district that deals with the most terrorism cases, that has prosecuted corruption from Democrats and Republicans. And so her qualifications, without question, are able to do the job of Attorney General.
She's not qualified to be Attorney General.
She's not qualified to be Attorney General. Hold on one second. I'm going to go to break. I'm going to come back, and you go out to get Jack. Because you must be out of your mind to say she's not qualified to be Attorney General.
Facts.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Right, you got facts. It's also delusional right next to facts. All right, coming up, we're going to deal with Raynard having the audacity, the unmitigated gall to say Loretta Lynch is not qualified to be Attorney General. Yeah. Also, we're going to deal with Nerd Prom, also known as the Washington White House Correspondents Association Dinner. It's D.C.'s biggest party, but seriously, are folks that excited about these geeks getting together for a dinner? We'll break it down with Patrick Gavin, who made a documentary about it. Also, it's Fit Live Win. We'll break it down how some of your favorite foods may seriously be bad for your health. Plus, the author of Miss Jessie's, the co-founder of the company, she's going to be here talking about the new book. Folks, hit me up with your thoughts on Twitter at News One or at Roland S. Martin. I know y'all got something to say about Raynard's crazy comment. Or go to our News One Facebook page. It's 9 after the hour. News One Now on TV One.
Wherever you are, we are. Your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Welcome back to News One Now. My panel, Edward Hales, Michelle Juando, and Raynard Jackson. I got a text from somebody. They say, don't call Raynard a liar. I'm like, if you lie about my position, I'm going to call you a liar. So, Raynard, you got to be stuck on stupid. Says she's not qualified to be attorney general.
Well, can we all agree that the U.S. Attorney General is the number one law enforcement
it's
official
the chief law enforcement officer of the country? In the country.
When she was before the Senate Judiciary Committee for her hearing, my good friend, Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama, asked her a very simple question. Basically, if you're in the country illegally, do you have a right to work in the U.S.? She said, I don't care who they, how they got here and what their status is, they have a right to work. That's in contradiction to the U.S. law. So she said, I am going to support a law, support something that's illegal, therefore I disqualified her for the position of Attorney General.
So
she
said
that at the hearing.
So are you, Raynard, are you going to turn down all that Republican money of individuals who take advantage of that kind of labor in the country?
That's not,
if you want to take a stand on that, what I'm simply saying is, go all the way. Have your conviction, but don't sit here and dance around it. Are you going to turn down all of that money from Republican business owners?
We're talking about the Attorney General, Nominee Lynch. She said she would not uphold the law, and if you're not going to uphold the law, then you are not fit to be a
Attorney General. She supported the president's position.
Let's talk about the hearing. Let's talk about the hearing. What she said in that hearing.
Let's talk about the hearing, but let's also talk about African-American women questioned about their qualifications for positions in which they are appointed. We've heard this for years.
But based on what she said before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
She's a well-trained lawyer who's been confirmed by the Senate two times. She's born and raised in North Carolina. Parents, a librarian, and a preacher.
Impeccable background.
And she knows the words and the word. And she has proven in her position as a U.S. attorney, that she's competent, she's capable, and this question about her qualifications clearly.
But how do you reconcile the issue of what she said before the Senate committee?
Is that she also wouldn't answer hypotheticals. Let's just talk about the fact that you cannot throw out, because this was also a criticism from Senator Ted Cruz, that she didn't answer the question. Well, you can't throw out a hypothetical to the chief law enforcement officer of the United States.
That wasn't a hypothetical. This is a real factual question Jeff Sessions asked
her. What is happening is we see immigration being thrown up as a farce to delay her confirmation. We see the forfeiture throwing up as a farce.
No, Michelle, but let's talk about her answer, though.
Hold on, Renard. She gave an answer.
And she said she would not support the law.
Hold on. She gave an answer. But does she deserve a vote?
A vote, yes.
Okay, so
confirmation, no.
Renard, this whole debate is about scheduling a vote.
But don't make this seem like she's the first nominee to ever be delayed.
Before we went to break, didn't you say facts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Answer the question, Ray. Since you want Loretta Lynch to answer the question, I need you to answer the question. Has any other nominee for Attorney General been delayed this long?
I said no and so what?
Has she waited longer than anybody else?
Yes, she has.
Waited longer than the last seven attorney generals combined?
Yes, and so what?
With delays? I thought you said she deserved the vote up or down.
Well, she's going to get a vote eventually.
Are you sure?
Right, when the administration is in the last days.
Because if the rate is going, she might not get one.
Okay, it's not like the position of attorney general sitting open and vacant. Eric Holder is still there.
Yeah, but I thought you got a lot of Republicans who can't stand Eric Holder. I thought they want to see the brother go.
And the black community, you all are raising your arms up over something this trivial?
You watch the show every day because we deal with stuff all day, every day on these issues. Go right ahead.
And there needs to be some clarity and some consistency and some stability.
Not in D.C.
At the top level of law enforcement.
No, we need some sanity.
We have voting rights issues. We have immigration issues. We have police misconduct issues that need to be addressed by someone who's in the position. Everybody has a very clear understanding that she's going to be there till the end of this administration. We need that right now.
No,
I agree with you there. Again, the position.
Hold on. You agree that we need her right now?
No, you need an attorney general.
No, I'm just trying to make sure because I mean, you're like confusion
like you said,
down
no,
there.
No, I don't think she should be confirmed. A vote yes, confirmed no.
Well, let's also look at the change in the deference to the president's nominees. Without question, if you look at the treatment of President Barack Obama's both judges, federally elected judges or federal judges, as well as his nominees, no other president has dealt with this level of obstruction. And what's the common fact here? President Barack Obama.
Oh, his race. So throw out the race card. Let's get it on the table. You are making a racial argument, and both parties do the same thing. This is not unique to Republicans, and Obama's race is irrelevant in this case. Now, there are some legitimate areas where I would agree with you. Folks have thrown Obama's race as a liability. This ain't one of them.
Loretta Lynch has an absolute impeccable background.
Yes, she does.
Loretta Lynch, to be the U.S. attorney right there in New York, absolutely should be confirmed. Has her credentials to be attorney general. Your issue, your one issue, does not somehow invalidate her being from the attorney general.
Your
one question.
Her admitting that she's not going to enforce a law.
I do not believe there's a litmus test that where there's this one question that somehow defines whoever is going to be the attorney general. But the issue is this here, and that is this U.S. Senate. They are not getting to work. They're absolutely embarrassing. The president is correct. It has taken this long, and it's a 15-minute vote. That's all it is. Maybe if they actually worked more, maybe they actually worked 5 days a week like the rest of Americans out there, they could actually find some time amidst the whole layoff to actually schedule a vote. This is embarrassing. It does not help the GOP. It makes them look silly.
Yeah, but last time I checked, there were 45 Democrats in the Senate, too. They're playing the same game that
who calls the vote? Who calls the vote?
Senate Majority Leader.
Who is the Senate Majority Leader?
Mitch McConnell.
Is he a Republican?
Yes.
I rest my case.
And any senator can bring up this nomination.
But if you guys schedule the vote.
You know you got to schedule the vote.
Bottom line is, they've been delaying. It makes no sense whatsoever. And so, if you think she's not fit, fine. Call the vote. But I guarantee you, it's 51 votes there.
That's yeah. Right.
Unfortunately, right. Four Republicans, unfortunately.
Well, it sounds to me like it's at least four. Got some sense.
Leaders. Yes.
Coming up, documentarian Patrick Gavin explains how the White House Correspondents Association dinner has taken a dramatic leap from its humble beginnings. Now it's a big old week-long party where nerds get their geek on. From the kitchen table to a multi-million-dollar business, Miss Jessie's co-founder, Miko Branch, breaks down her recipe for success. Plus, we expose the chemicals lurking inside our favorite foods. That was hurting, Raynard. And give you healthy alternatives with health expert Rosaline Law. Hit me up with your thoughts on Twitter at News One or Roland S. Martin, our News One Facebook page. 21 after the hour, News One Now on TV1.
So you want the truth. Well, we got it.
That's how I talk. God knows it. I'm just straight.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
Some call it Nerd Prime. Others call it the Oscars of D.C. Well, documentarian Patrick Gavin describes the annual White House Correspondents Association's dinner as an event filled with, quote, misguided priorities. A documentary is called Nerd Prime, Inside Washington's Wildest Week, and it breaks down the annual affair and how it has evolved from about journalism and sources to just a series of a bunch of parties. Here's a sneak peek.
It was supposed to be an occasion where print reporters, principally members of the White House beat, people who covered the White House beat, brought their sources to dinner, and it was an off-the-record kickback evening. That changed when the nature of the guests changed from sources to celebrities. And by its very nature, as soon as you have a swarm of celebrities, they're going to dictate the tone of the evening.
Patrick joins us right now. And Patrick, first of all, it's perfect discussion coming out of our discussion about how the U.S. Senate can't do any work to this big old event. Seriously, It kills me how D.C. journalists just, oh my God, this is the center of the universe.
Yeah, I mean, it started off with just 50 people in the room, and now it's about 2,600. It's not just that dinner anymore, really. It's about two dozen parties that go on for a week. I mean, it's going to start this Wednesday, you know, basically shuts this place down. You know, and I think that most people know about the dinner. You know, they see the president tell jokes on the following Monday or whatever.
You see some major comedian.
Yeah, but they don't know about how this has become our Super Bowl, and that's kind of why I wanted to do this film. I mean, growing up, when you would look at your textbooks, and anytime you'd see D.C., it would be, you know, you see the March on Washington or you see a Vietnam War protest. I mean, that's the images of what this city is supposed to be about. And now, if you were to open up a textbook, our biggest moment is this, which doesn't reflect well on our town, and I think we should probably try to do a little bit better.
What's also interesting is that they supposedly, first of all, the dinner is about scholarships for students.
Right.
And they raise about $100,000 for scholarships, award about $100,000 in scholarships. But in the documentary, you broke down how the White House Correspondents Association, they pay their CEO, whose really only job is this dinner,
right,
more than they give out in scholarships.
That's right, and that ratio seemed bad to me. And to be honest, in the most recent tax filing, which we got after the movie came out, the amount that they gave to scholarships actually went down. It's now about $88,000.
Wow.
So they're actually giving less. But I didn't know if that ratio was just odd to me, so I went up to New Jersey and met up with Charity Navigator, which is the nation's leading charity analyst. And they said that, they're not a big enough charity to be rated by them, but he said, were we to rate them, we would have red flags all over the place because, you know, if you, on their tax form and their mission statement, one of two of their stated objectives are fighting for access for reporters and giving to the scholarship program. And really, by any yardstick, the fact that you're paying your only employee more money than you're giving away to scholarships, that looks bad on the optics, it's bad substance-wise, and it's not helping as many kids as they could.
I also make an appearance in the documentary, so check this out.
All right.
I guarantee you that if you took the amount of money spent on hair, nails, facials, new tuxedos, you will likely exceed the amount of money that they raise.
One other thing that exceeds the amount raised for scholarships, the annual salary of the White House Correspondents Association CEO.
We just talked about that. So you said when you had the screen and see that
yeah, line got people loved your line about the facials and...
But it's true.
Yeah. It's a multi-million-dollar event nowadays.
Yeah, there was a guy in documentary. You said he said, "Look, if you want to throw a great party, it's going to cost you a minimum $300,000."
Yep, shoot. That's right.
Any of y'all been to the dinner?
I haven't been to the dinner.
I haven't been to the dinner. I've been to the parties, though.
You see, right? I've been to I guess three or four of the dinners. Mm-hmm. It's a dinner. I mean, okay, the president tell jokes. But yeah, I still, as somebody who really doesn't like D.C. folks, and I say, because seriously, part of my problem, I think this dinner breaks it down. Folks are so insular where they somehow think that this is the world and the world revolves around them. And this dinner says it with the whole red carpet, things along those lines. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, and to me, I would extend the problem to what you're saying a little bit further. How do you turn around and hang out with all these politicals as a reporter,
yeah,
and then turn around and say, I'm going to do an objective story about you the next day? You can't do that.
Well, the reality is, right, and that's one of the knocks on the dinner is that it sort of shows that
and the media people compete for big-name political, yep, folks to be at their tables.
Right. You know, right, and that's one of the criticisms that it shows that reporters are cozy with their sources. I don't totally buy that, only in the sense that this happens all year round. So whether or not this dinner existed,
right.
You still have New York Times columnists, you know, having dinner with the president or elected officials. I mean, this coziness happens all the time.
But Americans don't see it, though.
That's right. It's not always on camera. And it's tough. It's tough because it's sort of a double-edged sword. Sometimes being close to the sources means you break news. On the other hand, it's also how sometimes news gets suppressed. And so that coziness thing is a very tricky thing.
Well, I mean, Patrick, I'd love for you to maybe talk about, like, how did we get here so quickly? When,
yeah,
did we see, like, the celebrity shift happen?
Yeah, I mean, the association that organizes it has been around for 100 years. They've been throwing dinners since 1921. What really sort of blew it up was, you know, C-SPAN cameras started coming in, which kind of gave the dinner more exposure. Then all of a sudden, celebrities started wanting to come.
But it was the, who was the woman? It was the Iran-Contra. She was the...
Fawn Hall. Yes.
She was the first so-called,
yeah,
celebrity, and then that door just flung open.
Exactly. I mean, she was sort of the one that people say sort of opened the door to celebrities. I mean, now the reality is that, you know, actual White House back in the day, White House correspondents, I think, like celebrities. Now they really are sick of them. But the reason that they're there is because the media executives who buy tables like to bring celebrities to woo their advertisers and to show sort of their moxie. So, you know, if you get Scarlett Johansson at your table, you can sort of have one up on Verizon or
right,
Comcast
yeah.
or whoever.
And what they do is also about, well, who gets the most attention? Is somebody else's media piece? I mean, look, when I worked at CNN, I mean, I can tell you, I would get emails, hey, Roland, we know you know so-and-so,
yeah.
so can you shoot them an email? And I'm sitting there going, okay. And then you had celebrities who would also say, hey, I would love to attend,
yeah.
and stuff along
yeah.
those lines. And so you're playing sort of this conduit.
Right, and the thing that really mostly troubles me about this, I mean, I don't really mind the dinner. I don't necessarily mind corporate sponsorships. Corporations do lots of great things, mm-hmm. you know. But for me, you know, this town has a 10% approval rating, politicians and reporters alike. And if you were, you know, if you were a consultant, if you were doing damage control, and you had a client who had a 10% approval rating, and everybody admits that this dinner is like kind of not the best representation of D.C., probably doesn't make us look good. And say, yeah, it makes us look really bad, but just keep on doing what you're doing. You would never tell a client with a 10% approval rating to keep doing what they're doing. And the fact that this is our number one event, you know, if it were number five and the first two were like a Tea Party event or climate change rally or whatever, I'd be fine with it. But for this to be the single biggest event every year for us sends a really bad message.
Well, again, the documentary is called Nerd Prom Inside Washington's Wildest Week. Patrick Gavin made it. Patrick, congratulations. Where can folks see it?
NerdPromTheMovie.com. Check it out.
Okay, we can watch it on digital as well.
That's right.
So
absolutely.
I was joking with April Ryan because she used to be on the board about this week, and she's like, Roland, she said, so people ask me, am I going? No, I'll be in Palm Beach playing golf.
Oh my.
I went in search of some sun. All right, we had sun for 2 days this weekend.
Right. Uh-huh.
Now look at us right now. I'm guaranteed for some sun. So yeah. So don't ask me about how the dinner went. Y'all watch it on C-SPAN because Ro won't be there. Patrick, I appreciate it. Thanks a bunch.
I appreciate it.
Coming up, Miko Branch joins us to talk about her new book, Miss Jessie's, Creating a Successful Business from Scratch Naturally. Also, how to move forward after the death of her sister in December. Could your favorite snack be making you sick? Certified health coach Rosalind Law says yes. That's later on Fit Live Win. Plus, singer Christina Milian, one of she's going to be at the dinner, reveals she's releasing new music and a new clothing line. 26 before top of the hour. News 1 Now on TV 1.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
Welcome back. Birthday shout-out time. Yesterday, WNBA player Candace Parker turned 29. Today, reggae singer Stephen?
Stephen.
He won't know. He turns 43. Actor Shamar Moore turns 45 on this day in history in 1853. Calm down, please, Michelle.
Yes.
1853, Harriet Tubman begins working with the Underground Railroad. 4 weeks ago, folks, I announced the Super Shred Challenge following Dr. Ian Smith's Super Shred Diet. And, of course, I told you I'm not going to call him that. She keeps saying Ian. I'm not going to call him that. I'm going to call him something different. The Super Shred Diet combines a low-carb diet with meal spacing and meal replacements. Team Roland went head-to-head with Dr. Ian, that's what I'm going to call him, and the challenge is officially over. Stay tuned on Wednesday for the final tally. Doc will be right here on News 1 Now, but right now we want to talk about, of course, this whole issue of food. Fit, Live, Win. Every Monday we, of course, have our food segment where we give you these tips dealing with healthy and how to try to live well. Today we're talking about our favorite quick snacks and meals, and what is good, what is bad, what is toxic. Certified health coach Rosalind Law. What's up? You good?
Yes.
Laura, what did you bring here? I mean, you got all kind of stuff. I mean, you got ramen noodles, you got hot dogs, Pepsi. So let's just cut right to the chase. All the stuff you got in front of us, what's really good for us?
So listen, what I'm going to do, Roland, is take you to food school.
Okay, food school. All right.
Okay. So, many things that people feed their children. Hot dogs.
Right,
that.
Right.
Hot
love hot dogs.
You love hot dogs?
Love hot dogs.
Okay, well.
Y'all love hot dogs?
Yes, yes. Baseball.
Forget you, Michelle. She whatever.
Hot dogs, bologna.
Okay, I ain't done bologna since I was about 7 or 8. Okay.
They have nitrates.
Okay.
Nitrites.
Okay, what is that?
Nitrites.
Is it bad?
Oh, yes, yes. Nitrites is like plastic.
Ooh.
It's what they put in to preserve your food.
Okay. So basically what you said, don't eat hot dogs. This ain't off to a good start right now. Okay. Food school is not going too well right now.
But there's
all natural.
Right.
All natural.
No nitrates.
All natural, uncured chicken hot dogs. This don't even sound good. Okay, gotcha. Which is no nitrates or nitrites added except for the naturally occurring nitrates and sea salt in celery powder.
Correct.
Low fat, gluten free, no MSG. Mm. This is how I'm gonna look eating this hot dog. Okay, all right, Doc, what else you got?
All right, so how about, let's talk about aspartame.
Okay, aspartame.
All right.
All right, what you got? Aspartame?
How about in all of your diet? Products.
Okay, so you're saying, so if you drink, let's just say a regular Pepsi, a regular Coke is fine, but diet?
Well,
what goes in?
So what's in it is aspartame. And aspartame is gives you headaches, dizziness, vomiting, nausea. Aspartame.
Okay.
It's also in gum.
In gum?
You find it in gum.
Okay, all right.
As well. So in many, many, in yogurts, anything that's lower in sugar or have sugar substitutes.
All right, what's next in food school?
What's next?
Right.
Is,
I mean, like I said, the school ain't going too well right now. It ain't going too well right now. Okay.
All right. So what's next would be your high fructose corn syrup.
All right. Gotcha. What's that?
So.
Oh, barbecue sauce. So awesome.
How many people buy Hawaiian this for their children?
Yeah.
Hawaiian punch.
Yeah.
Hawaiian punch.
You know, black people drink red drink.
Cool,
you know black people drink red. They drink red. All right, gotcha.
Hawaiian punch is in the applesauce.
Really?
High fructose corn syrup is in your peanut butter. This is your
all right, so what makes high fructose bad?
So high fructose corn syrup, it's come from the corn, and they put it in the food so that it can taste good. So it sweetens up your ketchups and your breads and things like that.
All right, so what makes it bad, though?
What makes it bad? Diabetes.
Okay.
That
ain't good.
Yeah,
Metabolic syndrome, it damages your immune system for sure.
All right, so what's the alternative?
The alternative would be applesauce, natural applesauce. How about
organic?
Let's talk about this, just putting an apple.
You mean, okay,
that's processed.
All right.
Okay. And.
I mean, good point.
Yeah.
Eat an apple versus applesauce.
Apple.
Sorry.
An apple. Absolutely.
Okay.
And.
Does it matter, red or green?
Does not matter all at right. all, whatever your preference is, but just a apple.
Okay.
Good applesauce for you.
Okay, ramen noodles. You can't get through college without some ramen noodles. Why are ramen noodles bad? What's up?
So your ramen noodles is your TBHQ.
Okay, what the hell is that,
Doctor? All
right, or something?
I'm sorry.
TBHQ, was that a law firm? What's that?
Tertiary butyl hydroquinone. Okay, so that's why we call it TBHQ.
What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it?
So it's a byproduct of guess what?
What?
Petroleum.
Yo.
Gas, oil.
So you eating gas?
It's a byproduct from it. For sure.
From New
so you find that.
I might explain it.
So it's a preservative. It's a preservative that you put in your food. And Nissan, ramen noodles, very, very cheap.
Right.
Okay.
You're right. That's right. You're in college. That's what I'm saying.
And you're eating and you're living off of this. And a lot of people feed this to their children. The very first food that I learned how to make when I was a child.
My nieces love it. So instead of eating that, eat what?
So now we have
organic.
Organic.
Yeah, I should have known you were going to say that. Yeah.
$10.
All right. It's garlic and pepper ramen made with organic noodles.
Organic noodles.
So no gas in it.
Wheat noodle. It's a whole grain noodles. From wheat. And no preservatives in that ramen noodle.
Doc, I'm out of time. Where can people go to get more information on what they can't eat? Because you just really just jacked up all our
snacks. So you can find me on Twitter, I don't even know.
All right, your Twitter,
it's on there.
Lord, look at that long website
That's my website.
Just go to RolandMartinReports.com. We have all the information for you. I can't read the whole website. And then follow her on Twitter as well. Doc, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, pass me some, pass me that box of cereal before we leave. All right, let's go to a break. We'll be back in a moment on News 1 Now TV 1.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Singer Johnny Kemp, best known for his hit song, Just Got Paid, died Friday in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. The Bahamian singer was found floating in a beach in Montego Bay. Specifics about how he died have not been released. He was 55 years old, so certainly rest in peace to Johnny Kemp. Christina Milian is busy these days with a new clothing line, a new sitcom, and a new love. Hip Hollywood's Jasmine Simpkins caught up with Milian. Party time.
Christina Milian is smiling from ear to ear these days, and it's because she's in love. The 33-year-old recently confessed to Big Boy on The Real 92.3 LA that she is indeed in a relationship with Lil Wayne, and she loves him.
Yeah. You better stop, because he's the sweetest. I love him.
That's dope.
Oh, that's the exclusive.
But Lil Wayne isn't the only man Milian has love for. When we caught up with her at Chic Shoes in Hollywood for the unveiling of her clothing line, We Are Pop Culture, Milian also gushed over 80s sitcom star John Stamos, who she just shot a pilot with for Fox.
Uncle Jesse is just as hot as he was when we were watching him on Full House. We actually already shot the pilot. It's called Grandpa, and it's for Fox. And I'm waiting to see the first edit. I can't wait to see it, but I really feel good about it.
Milian is also excited about taping season 2 of her reality show, Christina Milian Turned Up, and dropping more music.
We be on a million, know you heard of us, cause we the baddest women that you ever seen. Tina Turner, I put that on everything. Women, I'm actually working on a 5-song EP, and they're all songs that kind of just like in a whole kind of tell my different stories from this past year. So you heard We Ain't Worried, you've heard Rebel, we're dropping the video for that this week, well, next week, and then I have a song called Liar, a song called Do It, and a song called Like Me actually coming out, and we're in the process. I've actually been working with a choreographer, Jacquel Knight. He's fantastic. We were just working together yesterday, and we're putting all the visuals together, so be expecting that 5-song EP by right before the summer.
We'll definitely be on the lookout for that. For HipHollywood.com and TV One, I'm Jasmine Simpkins.
Henry, calm down. It's okay. Calm down. He saw that saw Christina. He like, ooh. Tomorrow News 1 Now, singer Stacey Francis gets you ready for the R&B Divas LA reunion. Plus, it's Financial Literacy Month. We'll help you get smart about your money. Don't forget, Brothers for Loretta Lynch going to the U.S. Senate on Wednesday. Right now, you need to come with us.
Yeah.
Brothers.
Bring them.
That's it.
Brothers.
Come on, man.
Bring some with you.
Come on.
I got to go. Holla!
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.